I know, and I can't really explain that, but I think I have a feeling there's something, you know, a situation between them, like they don't know each other much or well, you know, something like they don't talk much anymore, even. You know, God, does this sound weird?
I just don't understand why you're calling me.
Well, there's no number for Frank in any of Earl's stuff, you know, and he's pretty out of it. I mean, like I said, he's dying of cancer. So.
What kind of cancer?
Well, it's brain and lung.
My mother had breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is she all right?
She's fine now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was scary though.
Oh, it's a hell of a disease.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah.
So why call me?
I know this sounds silly. And I know that I might sound ridiculous, like this is the scene of the movie where the guy's trying to get a hold of the long-lost son, you know, but this is that scene. This is that scene. And I think they have those scenes in movies because they're true, you know, because they really happen. And you gotta believe me, this is really happening. I mean, I can give you my number and you can go check with whoever you gotta check with and call me back, but do not leave me hanging on this. All right, please. I'm just, please. See, this is the scene of the movie where you help me out.
Welcome to the Unlabeled Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is David.
And we are still laughing at this for no apparent reason, because you guys didn't hear what we were just talking about.
I was about to say, what is this? I don't remember speaking before this. You just said hi and welcome.
Right, and I magically morphed into the podcast room. I was sitting at my doorstep waiting for Uncharted to be delivered. Someone said hi and welcome, and now I'm sitting at this desk with a mic in front of me. Why am I here?
I beamed you up, okay?
How did I get here?
I beamed you up.
Okay. Thanks. So hi and welcome. Hi and welcome.
So yeah, let's move on with the podcast, and let's start out with what we've been watching as usual. Douglas, what have you been watching?
Hi and welcome. I mean, sorry. So yes, I have about three things on my very short list this week. First off, I watched a movie last night by the name of The Debt. It stars Helen Mirren, Tom Wilkinson, that Australian guy, and a bunch of other people.
Sam Worthington.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to remember his name. I don't care about him.
But he was in that great movie last night.
That movie didn't make me care.
Oh, right.
That's what I thought you were going to say, Damien.
No, I picked a worse movie last night.
This movie, the Debt, did not help in any way, shape, form, or otherwise for me to try and like him anymore.
It takes a lot for me not to want to say a Helen Mirren movie. Sam Worthington.
Yeah. So this movie was essentially about some Mossad agents that went on a big mission in like 1966 and screwed the pooch. They lied about it and said, yo, we are awesome. And then of course, you know, that lie comes to haunt them like 50 years later. So, this movie was extremely average, middling, and bland.
Okay.
I knew I didn't want to watch it at first. Then for some reason I decided to go and watch it. And about 10 minutes into the movie I realized, yeah, that's why I didn't want to watch this movie. So I didn't enjoy myself. Not that great. Moving on. The second movie that I watched this week was Mr. Nobody, starring Jared Leto and, I guess, co-starring. Also
no.
In the movie for possibly 5 minutes.
Yes. Cameo appearances, bye.
I.e. the scenes that Douglas actually enjoyed in the movie.
There we go. Yes, perfect. Perfect way of describing this film. So the weird thing about this movie is there were really two main reasons that I wanted to watch it. One, of course, was Reese fans, but two was I was flipping through my XBMC and it told me for some, I don't want to call it god-awful because there were some really good aspects to this movie, but for some reason IMDb rates this as about 9.5, 9.2. And that's out of a scale of 10. So when you see that, you tend to say, okay.
You perk up, you. All right.
I'll watch this. And I watched it, and it looked great. I mean, there's a bunch of CG in it, and it was pretty good. It's clear that, you know, the filmmaker put a lot into how he organized the movie, even though the movie wasn't very organized, and how he, you know, had the characters and everything. So there was a lot of thought put in this movie, and technically it is a very good movie. But I don't know, this movie, I guess it won't appeal to a lot of people because it's very weird in the way it's structured. It's a movie about Jared Leto, who's currently the last mortal man on Earth, because apparently, you know, medical science has surpassed everything that we know, and everybody knows is essentially immortal. But people are trying to figure out who this guy is, because I guess maybe he suffers from like say Parkinson's or whatever it is, and his memory isn't quite there. And he keeps remembering various different pasts for himself. So, you know, in some scenes you'll see him married to Anna, in some scenes you'll see him married to Elise, in some scenes you'll see him married to this Asian chick, and it goes round and round the mulberry bush with, you know, what if I had stayed with my father when our parents separated, or what if I had stayed with my mother, and a lot of that kind of stuff. There's a realization in the end that you come to that is kind of lame. It's very much along the lines of, what was that crappy daytime television show, like Days of Our Lives or Children or whatever, that ended itself and it kind of completely negated everything that happened before it.
They have names.
This one?
Lost? I don't know.
Hey.
You just said crappy daytime TV show. That is literally every one of them.
This is true. But anyway,
Damien,
that's not fair.
Please stop trashing on Lost, okay?
It ended along those lines, and it was kind of crazy because in the middle I'm like, you know, this movie's ridiculous, and I bet you this is where they're going with it. And I went there, and it was stupid, and it just didn't. It reminded me of the reason why I hate so much. Is it Joe Wright's first movie? Or not first movie, the last one before Hannah. Atonement. I really hated that movie because in the end, they were like, okay, by the way, this story didn't actually happen. So, alright, I'll just finish there. And it was similar to that. And just really didn't. That didn't appeal to me.
It wasn't fulfilling.
Yeah, it was not fulfilling. But even then, in the middle of the movie, you're just kind of going along, and it felt like a cheaper and less skilled way of telling a story along the lines of what Michel Gondry did in Eternal Sunshine. And so that really got me. That was a problem. Because to tell you the truth, this is one of those movies where I could probably have gotten on board if it was just, I don't know, if there was just something about it that was better, you know?
Yeah. While I agree with you about the ending of the movie.
You've watched this one?
Yeah, I saw it a while ago. I really enjoyed this movie. As you said, the ending was pretty cheap, and I would have preferred if they had just ended the movie. A hard line.
when a certain big event happened.
And don't explain anything.
Yeah.
But all the pieces, all the separate stories that were told, I enjoyed. And as Douglas said, the movie's beautiful. I mean, it is ridiculous how Angela's seen. If you've seen Trail Life, then it's kind of like that. It's beautiful to look at. Really beautiful. Except their story is actually being told in this movie, unlike Tree of Life. And it is enjoyable until you get to the end. But I guess the more movies I watch, I'm kind of conditioning myself to ignore endings of movies. Because that's where a lot of things go wrong. They don't know how to end it. And they come up with some nonsense.
You're so like, I can't just keep going for like 5 days.
And so I've learned. It started with boy in the pinstripe pajamas. I think that's
does that have a bad ending?
No, it doesn't have. It's not.
I've wanted to watch
it. It's not a bad ending. The movie is great. It is. It would have been a terrific. It's not a Disney movie, but it would have been one of those terrific Disney movies. But then they take a dark turn right at the end of the movie that comes out of nowhere and is uncalled for in every single way. And ruins the movie, in my opinion. And so, and there's a whole other list of movies that have terrible endings. One of the most recent was Source Code, which I'm trying to forget. But I enjoyed this movie,
Damien.
I enjoyed
this
movie a whole lot. Yes.
I recommend alcohol.
Sure. I enjoyed this movie a whole lot. I enjoyed the performances, and I enjoyed how they told the story. And so I'd recommend, but this is definitely a movie for people who love, who consider themselves film lovers. If you just watch movies because you watch movies, steer clear of this movie, because you're pretty much going to hate it.
Yeah, this is one of those fancy schmancy.
Right, artsy fartsy terrible movies. But I enjoyed it. I didn't have as much issue with it as Douglas, and them keeping him alive. While everybody else is pseudo immortal,
it's
pretty stupid.
Yeah, because I'm serious. You really tell,
and they don't explain it at all. but it was fun.
But you know what? I want to just add one last point about this movie, and that was that. Excuse me. The main character in this movie, there's one main string, and that is Jared Leto. Mm-hmm. He's the only person that's really carrying the movie, and he does it well.
Yes.
I think his acting in this film is fantastic, because not only does he act as himself as a regular like 30 something year old person, but he acts as himself as a 118 year old where he does it phenomenally. I mean, yes, it helps that he has good makeup, which kind of helps to sell the age,
but he still has to act.
He has to act, and the acting is
terrific in this movie.
Question.
And the casting was really good.
Question, and I don't know why this is the only thing that I have to ask, because I haven't seen this movie yet, and I remember the trailer, and I remember being very interested, but I've just forgotten about it somehow. I know the concept, and you talked about it a bit, Douglas. How many of these what-if branches, forks in the roads, do they actually take you down?
There's about eight.
There's a good amount, yeah.
Yeah, there's about eight of them.
Okay.
There's about three.
There's three wives.
Branches.
There's three wives. There are, what if he stayed with his mother, stayed with his father, and then there is when he was young. So that's six already. And then him in the old stage. So seven or eight, about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But none of them feel rushed, which is amazing.
And how long is this movie? Like long. 4 hours?
It's about 2 hours.
Like 2 hours.
It's about
2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess we can move on. Other than that, I watched one new thing. A TV show, actually. A British TV show by the name of Spy. Which is a comedy about this guy that... it's a comedy... about this guy
as he scrolls down his iPhone.
No,
it's
no,
a
actually,
HTC.
But,
I've forgotten.
Thank you. I had to ensure that was, you know, made clear. But also, it's really because I was messing around
with the levels.
But no, so it's a British comedy about this guy who inadvertently becomes employed to the MI6.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like Johnny English.
Hey.
Have any of you guys seen the Johnny English?
I've seen the trailer. I saw one of the first movies that he did.
I saw the first
terrible
one when it came out. I haven't watched a new one.
I watched the first one as well, and that one was bad.
Even as a child, I knew that that was a terrible movie.
The second movie, I don't know. I love Rowan Atkinson to death. I mean, Mr. Bean is one of my favorite comedies in the world. I've seen him in Blackadder, and I love him.
I'm afraid to go back and watch Mr. Bean. Because for the same reason, I'm afraid to go back and watch Allo Allo, because I'm afraid that my memories are wrong, and I don't want them to be wrong.
I hear you. I can tell you that definitely the Mr. Bean movie was god awful, and I think there's a second.
Yeah, but one. I know that the Mr. Bean movies were bad.
Yeah, but anyway, no, we're talking about Spy,
right.
And Spy is when I was watching it, I kind of thought to myself, boy, this kind of parallels a little bit of Chuck, but really, no, it's not the same exact story. So essentially, this guy goes for an interview with the public sector and, you know, messes up the interview room. And for some reason, he scores off the charts on a spy exam. Why? Because he likes to do lateral puzzles, you know, like crossword puzzles and the Sudoku, because apparently that is what is on the exam for spies. You know, there's no requirement for proficiency in foreign languages or, you know,
are you good at spying on shit?
Exactly, you know, nothing like that.
Tick yes.
And somehow, they actually find out before giving him the job that he's a complete idiot. They send him off, rightfully so, to talk about it, because apparently his scores were so high that, you know, maybe it would still be worth it. And guess what, guys? Still worth it. He still gets hired, even though they know exactly what's happening.
So the question, I have, right? Since you brought in the name of Chuck, is are you waiting 3 seasons to admit you like it?
Well,
would it take 3 seasons to be a good show?
The truth of the matter is, this show, it's only gone 1 episode so far. Well, actually, no, it's gone 2 episodes, but I haven't seen the second one yet. The first episode was very much along the lines of Enlightened, where it's a setup episode and you don't really get into the situation yet. But the setup was fairly okay, and I'm going to tell you it's a great TV show, but it was decent.
Oh, so it's like Chuck.
So talk to you in 2 seasons' time. All right.
Okay.
Except the difference between this and Chuck is that I'm actually going to have to wait 2 years to go 2 seasons, as opposed to being able to just catch up within like a month. But yeah, no, I have high hopes for this show, and I hope that it does. And by the way, Enlightened is a crock of shit, and I'm not watching that show anymore.
Have you been watching Fresh Meat?
No, I haven't watched the second episode yet.
Do not. I'm just going to put that out there. Fresh Meat, not very good. Right, so I guess I'll just go ahead now. I've been doing bad things in terms of movies this week.
Did you lose a bet?
No. I sat down and I saw, what was the Ben Foster movie with
the Mechanic?
Yes, I saw The Mechanic on TV. It was going on TV, and I had an adverse physical reaction to seeing that movie on the television. And then I said to myself, that's not fair, because I used to love Jason Statham. What happened? Right? I don't.
It's Jason Statham, yeah.
Right.
Don't tell me that you went back and watched like some Transporter.
He watched Transporter 2.
Oh my goodness.
That is exactly what happened.
Oh my goodness.
No, guys.
No, listen. I saw, you cannot break my. Don't try and take off my nostalgia goggles.
No. I went back and watched Transformers 1 and 2. Not 3, because I'm not a fan of 3.
No, Transformers 3 is awesome. Screw you.
Are we talking about Transformers or Transporter?
Sorry,
I'm confused.
Transporter. Transporter 1 and 2. Those movies are terrific, Douglas. Especially the first one. The first one is really, really well done. To the point where I don't think they intended for the rest of the Transformers movies.
The Transporter
movies to be. They made one proper, concise action movie where they focused on the action part of the movie the entire time. There was no big setup. There was something went wrong with a job. He went out for revenge. Some girl conned him. And then he fought more people. And that is pretty much all that happens. It's non-stop action for 90 minutes. And it's one of the best 90 minutes you can waste. Mm-hmm. You're like, now Transporter 2 took the template and went, what if we did more ridiculous shit? They didn't try to tell a better story or anything like that. They just came up with excuses to do crazier and crazier stunts. Because the second Transporter movie makes no sense. But it's still fun. Really fun. I also saw The Bank Job, which is another Stater movie. And I enjoyed that as well, despite him not being the regular kick-ass Jason Statham.
Please tell me you topped off all of this, as you would like to put it, quote-unquote awesome Statham with rewatching Revolver and telling me how much you love it. Because it sounds...
What I topped this off with was Arnold Schwarzenegger's best movie, True Lies. Now there are people who will disagree with me, and you're all wrong. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a comedian. And this is one of the funniest movies to have ever been made. And it was made by James Cameron, who does terrific action and makes things look very pretty on screen. True Lies is terrific. And after watching True Lies, I did something that I've told myself repeatedly not to do, which is go out on the internet and search for terrible reviews of movies that I love.
I'm happy I'm not the only person that does that.
And there are some truly, truly awesomely bad reviews for this movie. There are people that hate this movie with every fiber of their being. And I'm glad those people exist, because it makes me know that I'm not yet 100% movie snob. I still have a ways to go. Outside of all that chaos and madness that I saw, I'm finished with Breaking Bad, finally. It's still awesome. Guys, we can move on. Walking Dead. I'm afraid of what...
I saw that first
episode. I'm afraid of what is... Because the first episode of the first season was tremendous. And then it... Over the rest of the season, the quality of the episodes took a dip. Especially that last episode wasn't that great. So I'm afraid of how good... No, I'm not saying that the show wasn't great, Douglas. I'm saying the quality of the episodes weren't as good as the first one. I'm afraid that this first episode is setting the bar a little bit too high.
Okay, alright.
Because it's truly fantastic. And I'm part of me wants to stop watching it so that I can watch all of them in a row. That first episode was really awesome. And I'm afraid I might be going week to week with this, but I don't want to. Really don't want to.
Well, how many episodes are there in this season? Is it
I
going
think
to be
the
a 13, proper...
the full 13. Yeah.
13 is not full
at least 10.
It is for AMC.
Because, I mean, everybody got all up in arms last year because...
Fuck you guys,
six episodes. And then you'd have to wait a full year before you get any more.
Hey guys, move to Britain and tell me. I'm complaining about 6 episodes. It's not quantity, guys, it's quality.
I'm sure we'd be happy with 6 episodes of Luther, right?
Sweet Jesus, I'd be happy with another 6 more episodes of Luther.
Yeah.
I've also caught up with Up All Night, which is still fantastic. It's fun, it's popcorn, it is pretty much the only good thing that has started this season. I tried watching another episode of New Girl.
Hey. Damien.
Just to feel better that you guys are watching. You guys are going to continue to watch it because Zoe is in it. But I wanted to see if the quality of this show had increased. And no, it's gotten worse. It is still shit. This show is terrible, guys.
Damien,
you guys should stop
pulling
watching
back
it.
Up all night, because on top of everything else, I don't want us talking about New Girl. Right? I don't want us admitting the existence of that show.
Oh, it's so terrible.
I saw the last episode the other day. Do you guys know if that's actually the end of this season? Because it felt like it was a season ender. And when I look on a lot of TV show databases, they have it. They don't have any more episodes upcoming.
More episodes? I don't know.
Does anyone know?
I wasn't really following
on
that.
Or am I just guessing at this point?
I honestly don't know. I'm hoping it's not, because it's looking pretty bad out there for the other TV shows. But
how many episodes have there been?
Six.
Okay.
The last episode was The Birth.
Okay, because I've only watched the first three.
I've completed Chicago Code.
Yes.
Which is good. because there's a hard stop. I don't have to worry about watching any more episodes because it, as we know, it has been cancelled. But it's really good. And it boggles the mind how something this good is now off television and nonsense like the New Girl.
Can
have
we
you guys
stop
seen the New Girl?
About the New Girl? You know what, Damien, you're done. That's how it works. You mentioned the show too often, you're done. I'm moving on with what I've been watching.
Fair enough.
And I have a short list to talk about what I've been watching. I saw the new film by, I don't know how to pronounce this woman's name, but I hope I'm getting it right, Lone Scherf Fig. The woman who directed An Education, her new film called One Day with Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgis. And guess what, guys? It's actually really good. It's exactly what you expect watching the trailers. It's a really romantic film, and it works on the level of most good romantic films, including...
Just a question, Andrew. Right. Are you on a are you on a game show, or did your wash finish?
Right, is your computer rejecting the notion that this is a good movie? Because I just heard a beep. A buzzer went off when you said it's a really good show.
That was actually the dryer telling me it's done.
Incorrect. The dryer telling you that you are wrong.
You know those kind of romance movies, including The Notebook and 500 Days of Summer, where it's sweet and it's wonderful, but all the sweetness is so good mostly because there's a lot of bitterness put in the middle of it throughout. It's set over a span of over 20 years, and you get to see how these two people interact on this one day each year, July 15th, because it's... The first time that they've really interacted was on July the 15th, and it's become important for them. The ending was predictable, but at the same time, it still worked, you know? It was a really good movie. It's not something I'm going to go out and watch again, but I really enjoyed it watching it. Anne Hathaway is fantastic, as she usually is. And she pulls off the British accent really well. I didn't think she would. Also, I...
So there are really six episodes for The New Girl.
Hello? Why are we talking about The New Girl?
Because I think that my DVR sensed that it was a horrible show, and for some reason, it doesn't seem like I'm able to actually get the last three episodes.
No, there's six episodes for...
Up All Night.
Oh, no, I thought we were talking about New Girl.
Why are we still talking about the New Girl? God damn it,
so how many episodes of the New Girl are there? Because that's what I was asking.
They've been shitty episodes.
Are there three or four? There are more coming. They're taking like a month's break, I believe, and then they're coming back with more.
They should take a year.
By the way, whatever happened to Damon Wayans' son? Did he just
He's on another show. He was in the pilot, but he is working on another show.
Oh, which show?
I don't remember.
Some like Parenthood or something. I don't know the name of the show.
Can I tell you that?
I enjoyed him.
It's so bad. I actually did not like him in the first episode, but when he left, I realized how much I wanted him back.
Yeah, that other guy. Hey guys, that show's really bad.
Yeah. However, yes, upon night I've watched all six of those TV shows and I want more.
Yes.
They better not be a season finale. I actually didn't like that The Birth was the last episode. It's like, so, but I want to know what's happening now.
Alright, so Andrew, you saw something else?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch Beats Rhymes Life and Life, the Tribes, I can't even read
tribe
properly.
Quest.
Beats Rhymes and Life, the Travels of a Tribe Called Quest, which is the new documentary by Michael Rapaport, looking into A Tribe Called Quest, the hip hop group with Q-Tip.
We know who the Tribe Called Quest is.
Yes, but this is for those people listening who don't know who they are.
If they don't know who the Tribe Called Quest is, they won't care about this movie. Not like you describing what a Tribe Called Quest is. It's going to entice listeners. Oh, what? Q-Tip? I don't know who this Tribe Called Quest is. But this Q-Tip guy sounds fun. I should watch this.
I don't know when you guys actually first started listening to A Tribe Called Quest, but I actually got into them after they broke up. During Q-Tip's solo career. I'm like, where did that guy come from? And I found out about Tribe Called Quest. I'm a big fan of A Tribe Called Quest. Right? I didn't know a lot of the things that were happening in the group, which is why they eventually broke up, and the personalities that came into them and how they became famous, which is what the documentary is mainly about. However, I don't think it's that good a documentary because I don't think it actually conveys very well as to what the major contributing factor as to why they broke up was. You can definitely discern it from a lot of what's going on. A lot of stars trying to shine a lot brighter than others, kind of deal. And yes, I'm pointing the finger at Q-Tip. But no.
But he did Vibrant Thing, and that's good enough for.
Wait, sorry, what was Andrew saying?
He's talking about Q-Tip.
What, that Q-Tip's bad? Mm-hmm. I know for a fact Andrew thinks Q-Tip is a god.
I didn't say Q-Tip wasn't a god. Q-Tip is amazing. However, as a person, which is what this documentary is dealing with, it kind of paints him in a bad light.
Or, do you know how much I care about music people in reality?
Yeah.
0%.
I mean, really and truly, I love the Talking Heads. I know that the reason they're not still together is David Byrne, but guess what? He still makes music. It sounds kind of like the Talking Heads music, and it's still awesome. I'm good.
Yeah, I just care about the music.
Yeah.
What happens to those guys doesn't. I don't care. I've never understood documentaries like this because they're getting into the one part of music that is irrelevant.
You know what, though? I wouldn't say there's no merit to movies like this because I still watch it. And I probably think, this is interesting. Plus, I get to listen to all of the music again, and that sounds great too. You know, so there's at least.
No, if the documentary was about how they made the song, the music, then that is completely different. Like, there's documentaries that explain, you know, what their mindset was when they wrote these songs or whatever. But this documentary is about the breakup of A Tribe Called Quest.
No, I mean it goes
the rise and fall of A Tribe Called. Does it go into...
It does go into the music and the minds that did the music, but it definitely wants to focus more on the dynamics of the people and eventually how it became the breakup.
The people.
Or maybe I should just call it the tribe. What I was hoping for it to talk a bit more about, and I don't know if it's that it never existed, but it looks like it was something I was interested in, which was the influence that these guys had on the music that came after. Because they had numerous interviews with people like Pharrell talking about how A Tribe Called Quest influenced them, but it was so minimal that it never really made anything. It made it feel like A Tribe Called Quest is something that we all remember and we love and we wished it was still here, but at the end of the day it was a fart in the wind that just went away. And I wanted to think of a better way to say it, but somehow that's the only thing that came in my mind. And I just feel like that's not really well told in that, so in that vein. I also rewatched Drive, and actually I got to see it with a bigger crowd this time. And that was really interesting because you got to hear all of the people reacting to all of the violent scenes as they came along. And then even worse, hearing people complain in the theater as to why isn't there any action? And then eventually that driving sequence in the middle of the movie comes and people get excited. It was really fun.
Everybody sue them for racism again.
No, I didn't hear anyone complaining that they were going to sue. Also, I watched the first episode of Pan Am. And
how is that? I hear very mixed things about that
my
show.
My sister still likes that show, so please don't say anything bad about it.
I actually like that first episode very much.
Fucking crazy.
there's like some spy shit going on there as well.
This show is so convoluted, it is amazing.
The only thing that I think has that's going for it that might make me watch it. And I don't know
love
how much
for Nicole Richie.
First Christina Ricci.
Whatever.
But yeah, the thing is, I don't have a love for her.
Ah.
What I have is an appreciation that whatever she does is probably not just a regular old popcorn foolishness. Because I've seen her in horrible things, like, well, it's debatable, but have you ever watched Pumpkin?
What the fuck is Pumpkin?
Pumpkin is a movie with Christina Ricci where I think she forms a very weird, very somewhat romantic relationship with this guy that's named Pumpkin. And he's not quite...
Alright, look.
He's not the smartest tool in the shed. And I think I mixed metaphors there. That's a bad movie as far as I'm concerned.
In Pan Am, there is so much there's melodrama. And so much convoluted nonsense, but it is pretty, and again my sisters like it
and you have to live with them,
so I have to like it. I don't but I'm not allowed to say that.
Just as I mentioned, since Douglas brought it up, I will trump whatever Pumpkin is and say Christina Ricci was in The Ice Storm, which is a fantastic movie if you've never seen it.
Penelope.
Which one's The Ice Storm? Penelope is awesome. So are the Addams Family movies.
Yes.
But what's The Ice Storm?
The Ice Storm is a movie from the 90s with Kevin Klein, Sigourney Weaver. Who else is in it? Elijah Wood is in it, I believe.
What's it about?
It's about this family in the 80s. I think the movie's actually from the 80s, the late 80s, sorry. It's directed by Ang Lee, and it's about these two families and...
Directed by who, sorry?
Ang Lee.
Ang Lee.
Just one. Ang
one
Lee.
More time. That's Brokeback Mountain and Hulk Ang Lee.
Even though it's kind of hard to say...
Crouching Tiger Ang Lee.
You know, Brokeback Mountain is kind of awesome.
Damien does not like Brokeback Mountain. I know this for a fact, and he doesn't like Lust.
It's long and boring.
He doesn't
though.
Like Lust Caution, which I love.
I know. I'm not even going to argue with that. I'm going to justify that nonsense for that.
But anyways, The Ice Storm is a really good movie. It's really great. There's this one scene which I really love. One moment where Christina Ricci is like on the phone in her room. She's a child, and Kevin Klein is her father. Comes in and realizes that she's on the phone, and he tugs at the phone cord through the door, and she realizes what's happening, and she goes to the door, looks at her father and calls him a fascist. Just goes, fascist. He's like, if I were a fascist, I would have sent you to military school years ago. And for some reason that made me laugh. I know it seems really esoteric because you guys haven't seen the movie, but It's a really good movie. You guys should check it out if you...
It's really bad at describing.
It's a good drama. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain. Just a thought of those sweet ladies as a ship out through my veins. Now we're going shining, shining like brand new. I'll never look behind me, my troubles will be few. Okay, so the first trailer I want to talk about is the new film brought to us by the director of such brilliant, brilliant pieces of work such as Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I'm on board now.
And he brought us Terminator Salvation as well as We Are Marshall. And the movie is called This Means War, starring the wonderful, wonderful Reese Witherspoon, Chris Pine, and Tom Hardy.
What were you doing on the computer?
I was photographing my girl.
I was doing the same thing.
You want to see her?
You're on three.
One, two,
three.
That's Lauren Scott.
I feel weird about dating two guys at once. You think Gloria Steinem got arrested and sat in a jail cell so you could act like a little bitch? I think I'm going to hell. Get out there. You get flexible.
You know what? You date her.
Besides the fact, if I got in the picture, it wouldn't even be fair.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
I think we should lay down some ground rules.
I think we should.
I don't think we should tell her that we know each other.
Let's stay out of each other's way.
Just let her decide.
May the best man win.
On board.
Douglas, what do you think of this trailer?
Douglas is speechless.
Okay.
You said We Are Marshall and he lost his mind.
I've seen this trailer before. And I, like Damien, said to myself, boy, there are so many strikes against this movie. However, Tom Hardy is in it. So I will probably, possibly, maybe give it a chance. Mm-hmm. But, Andrew, can you just please repeat for me that list of movies that this director has made? So one more
I'd just
time.
Like to add to the fact that this man has also created and directed Chuck.
Oh, wait. Oh, this is McGee.
Yes.
I forgot about that. But Mark G did We Are Marshall?
Yes.
I did not even know
as
that.
As well as Terminator Salvation and Charlie's Angels.
No, those said that he created and directed Chuck. All right, fair enough, he created it. And he's directed maybe two or three episodes. But he rightfully annoyingly knew that with him at the helm, it could not work.
Backpedaling.
And that is how I am going to... Justify watching that TV show.
That's fine.
Actually, I made a mistake. He didn't create it. He produced it. Sorry.
Well, whatever he did, he's involved somehow. Thankfully, it's just producing, which probably means that he gave them some money.
He directed the pilot episode.
Yeah, he did. I know that. And I think he's directed a couple more, but nothing significant. This trailer, I'm sorry, it looks horrible.
We've seen this movie already.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times. But I don't.
I think I've seen this exact movie already. I think this is a remake of something. However,
there are really no words for me to say how much I dislike this trailer
and everything surrounding
much,
this movie.
Yes, and how much I hate myself for
still wanting to watch it.
I have.
And the reason you do is the same reason I want to watch it. Hardy is it.
Guys, right, guys.
Right, let's just run down what Hardy has done for us. Bronson. And we don't need to go any further. He was in Bronson.
Right? Don't have to mention Chris Nolan's
right.
name.
None of the Nolan movies. Right? The upcoming Batman.
Can I add to that list of, oh my goodness, Bronson, that he was in Star Trek Nemesis?
No, that does not come... Oh, Nemesis. He wasn't in Nemesis.
Yes,
he was in the...
He was...
No.
Yes, he was. I'm telling you as a fact.
He was in J.J. Abrams' version.
No, he wasn't.
Like 5 seconds.
He was... Well, maybe he was. But he is in Star Trek Nemesis. That is the one with Picard's twin evil brother. Tom Hardy was the twin evil brother.
Tan! I know nothing about Star Trek and will keep it that way as long as humanly possible. Heidi was also in Layer Cake.
Yes, he was.
And a whole host of other shit. And I like pretty much all of it.
Why does IMDb seem to try to promote the same sort of propaganda that you're just right. seeing here, Andrew?
When we know nothing could, it's impossible.
Extreme.
That this happened at any point ever. All right, look, Tom Hardy's in this movie, right?
I believe so. According to IMDb,
so I'm imposing the Fassbender rule. I'm going to watch this movie. All right. And you two will just have to deal with that.
I have one big question, and this applies to any CIA whatever movie that comes yes. out. What the fuck is Rap and Tap? They say it in every movie, and I hear it in this trailer like twice, I'm sure.
Wait, hold on. I don't know what Rap and Tap is, but did you know that Tom Hardy was in a TV show?
Yes. Because IMDb promotes propaganda.
A TV
the
show.
Take? This is British,
isn't
it?
Take, which I'm going to watch.
Yeah. I'm on board.
You guys are sitting down there taking
Brian
notes.
Cox. What? Wait, did you just.
Brian Cox! Holy
Yo.
Shit! Alright,
yeah. Yeah, this
yeah.
is
All right.
a watch. Definitely. All right.
Can you email me that link, please? So I don't forget. I'm not going to have this.
This. Ah, shit. Whatever. Yes, whatever. I actually really enjoyed this trailer. I know that is not going to be a good movie, right? I can see it. It's printed all over it. But somehow, I imagine this movie being another Mr. and Mrs. Smith level of fun. And I'm in for that.
I never said that this movie was going to be good. All I said is that it looks very bad. Hardy's in it, so I'm going to hope for the best. And if hope fails...
I hope they edit out a lot of Reese Witherspoon.
I'm pretty sure they... I don't know. Look, let's just talk about something else. Christ's sake.
And with that, we can move on into the next trailer. Chronicle, this new film... This new faux documentary film about these three teenagers who have gotten some superpower.
Watch this. Dude! Holy crap!
That's why I think we're getting stronger, you know?
She thinks he's stolen.
She has no idea.
Yes, it was the black guy this time.
He's working it out.
There's nothing stopping us.
Where are you going? I'm sorry.
That's just some redneck. What the hell is this guy's problem?
Why did you do that? What the hell is wrong with...
Was it an accident, Andrew? Andrew?
I'm worried about Andrew.
Listen to me. We can't screw
Wait,
around with
this.
It's too dangerous. Andrew, it's
what,
not
what
a game.
Andrew!
Stop this right now!
I have one question before we talk about the trailer.
What's that?
I saw MTV logo. Is
yes,
MTV
yeah.
in any way affiliated with this movie?
No, I think they got the exclusive to show the trailer first. So I think all the videos have the thing embedded on it.
Oh,
thank God. all right, then in that case, this movie looks like Cloverfield mashed with superhero powers, and so I'm looking forward to it. Mind you, this trailer isn't great.
No, I'll go a bit further and say this trailer is very bad. You know what this trailer reminds me of? Do you remember a few years back? There was this
years
movie.
Back.
Yeah, it was called something like The Cult or...
Oh, The Covenant.
Yeah, where all four of these teenagers
but
got
the
superpowers.
The Covenant was different because it was... the Twilight template, the no Twilight template. But what they did in The Covenant is spent all their budget on that one scene where he disassembled the car and reassembled it, and everybody went, holy shit, that's awesome. And then you sat down for 90 minutes and went, what the fuck is happening? In this though, it looks like they're going to have some amount of fun with the show, and then it will take a dark turn at some point. But it should be... I have have hopes for this movie. Not high hopes.
Not getting out there.
I'm looking... I mean, when it comes out, I will keenly be looking at the reviews before making any decisions about the movie, about watching the movie. And I'm very happy that MTV is not affiliated with it in any way. But it looks like it could be interesting. I am a little tired of the found footage motif in movies. I would prefer if we could get movies back looking like movies. But they are going to go this route. Paranormal Activities is making a killing going down this route. So I assume that it's not going to stop. But I'm looking forward to this. It should be good. The premise alone should make it a good movie, but I'm still afraid. I'm very afraid. Yeah. I've been burned once before. Or twice.
Okay, I have to say that while this trailer is actually really good and the movie looks promising...
Where did the trailer actually look very good? Where is that, Andrew?
It's a really good put together trailer as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how I can tell you where it went right. Guess what? It excited me.
Oh, okay.
Right? But, eventually, throughout the trailer, I started to realize that 90% of the reason I was liking it was because of the found footage aspect to it. And what the found footage does is it creates a whole new level of... presentation where it's telling you this is real. This is, you know, it's not real because you know this isn't true in any way, but you know, with movies, the whole premise is that we are asking you to believe that what we're putting in front of you is real for the 90 minutes that you're watching it. And when you go and you watch movies like The Covenant, we kind of don't really believe it. While we will or we won't enjoy the movie, we don't believe it. With the found footage thing, I don't know about you guys, but it's kind of brought back that belief element to the movies as far as I'm concerned. And I feel like I'm worried because that feeling is going to wear off really quickly, I'm sure. And I'm just worried because this story, if it was told through conventional ways, it would be another Covenant. And I knew from the beginning of the advertising and marketing of the Covenant that movie was going to be shit. You can now retort, Damien, because I can hear it.
No. No, that's not you. It's not you. Andrew, I'm very sorry. We just saw the movie called Intergalactic Combat.
Oh, Christ.
Which is the greatest name.
Well, no,
for any action movie
even
ever.
Even better. Right? The poster
is... It is majestic.
And the funny thing is, I found this via Tom Hardy. Okay.
Holy shit.
Is he starring in the movie somewhere?
No,
he's not.
Okay.
No.
He is in another movie with the main guy, Gordon Alexander.
Jesus Christ. Alright, yeah. Look. I have hopes for this movie. I'm praying that it's not bad.
Wait, what movie are we talking about now?
We're still talking about the...
Chronicles.
Listen, I'm going to tell you...
But the trailer is not...
I love Cloverfield. This does not look like Cloverfield. You know what this looks like? This looks like another movie that wants to look like Cloverfield because it realized that Cloverfield was good. It looks like a movie, exactly, that isn't going to put in enough thought... Or skill behind it in order to pull off something in order to pull off something like Cloverfield.
It's going to wobble the camera a bit.
Yeah, it looks like a movie, and maybe this is because I have a little bit of bias because, like you, I saw the MTV logo, but this looks like an MTV sort of movie where it's just a bunch of hot teenagers who get powers and then are crazy. Immature about it, and well, it looks like but in a bad way, in the sense that this should only be actually aired on MTV as opposed to in a
you're thinking it's the hero's version of 16 and pregnant.
Sure.
Alright. Alright. What in... I mean, I'm pretty sure I could work on what 16 and pregnant is.
I have watched the show, but I've seen it like...
Sure
I've
you
have. I've seen
haven't.
It like going by when I'm going through the menu.
What else are we talking about? What was the other trailer?
The other trailer is apparently a new film by this guy called Tom Tykwer or something. I don't know.
Yes.
The name of the movie is 3.
Ground control to Major Tom. Check ignition and may God's love
stop,
be
stop,
with
stop,
you.
Stop!
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know.
I think Douglas should start off.
Okay, so before we start, I want to say that there's no way that this movie is missing me. This trailer looks amazing. However, I want to temper that with I've seen his last movie and that movie was disgustingly bad, which is International.
Oh shit!
But. This movie is so fantastic. You should have... I wish that I was recording while myself and Damien were watching this trailer so that we could give it to you guys as a soundbite, because every 5 seconds, there was something that just blew our minds about this trailer. And it became very loud. It became very... we became very emotional. It was just an experience to behold. And... the trailer is cut up so well. You know, it doesn't tell you, I mean, I guess it does tell you a bit about the movie, but it doesn't really tell you where the movie is going. It gives you, I guess, the setup of this is clearly going to be one crazy relationship. And it looks like it's going to be some sort of analysis of, you know, these 2/3/ however many more people they're going to put into this thing. But I just... This trailer... You know what this trailer looks like to me? This trailer looks like a great trailer for a bad movie that I'm still going to watch anyway.
Please don't make it be that.
Please don't make it be that. But given your track record, Mr. Twiker or Tickwer or whatever you call yourself, I don't know. I hope to be proven wrong. Trailer looks great.
Damien?
Ditto everything that Douglas just said, and I will add that if this trailer is indicative of what this movie has to offer, I am 200% on board. 1 minute into this trailer, my mind was blown. That is how awesome this trailer was. I could not believe what I was sitting down and witnessing. I hope to God that this movie is awesome, because this trailer is awesome. Please be awesome. I loved every second of this trailer. And the title of this movie is also really good. I like that.
Does it also include the moment where the woman is telling her pregnancy test not to show positive?
Yep.
I think this trailer is a bunch of garbage. I'm sorry.
Sure.
And
you like the other
and
two.
I know that's the moment where I can stop talking because you guys don't care. It reeks of stupid art nonsense wrapped up into gay threesome melodrama, and I'm not interested.
When, When did you become a homophobe? When did that is that a Trinidad thing? Is that how it works over there?
I would say yes, but I'm afraid of people listening to this not realizing I'm joking.
I don't understand. I thought we were okay with the gays. What happened? Maybe you saw a different trailer. Me and Douglas are over here losing our minds because this trailer is so awesome.
I'm sorry.
I'm definitely 100% on board with this trailer.
The only thing that makes me sad about that fact is that down the line you guys are going to make me watch the movie.
Oh, you're damn right. If it's really good, then you know you'll never stop hearing it from us. If it's bad, you might never hear us talk about this movie ever again. We'll just pretend this didn't happen.
No, what'll happen is Douglas will pick the movie without having seen it and we'll just all have to watch it and talk about
it.
That's more than likely what'll happen. Anyways.
Speaking of rare exports.
Yeah,
it's
kinda like rare exports.
Anyways, those are the trailers of the week.
Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know.
Beautiful buildings, yes.
Okay, right. Make it to the pillow.
Make it to the
pillow.
Come on, it's so nice and
better. No, I have to get going. Oh, shit. I have to take it. Sorry.
How long will you be gone?
I don't know. I guess just a couple of days.
Goodbye, Gloria.
Goodbye. Have a safe trip.
Bye. I love you.
This, my friends, for you. Signing all those contracts. White stuff.
Moving
right
on
there.
Into Mammoth. Our review of the week. It's a new film by Lucas Moodyson. I don't know how to pronounce his name. There are too many foreign names.
The new film from
this episode. Starring
the brand new film.
Starring Michelle Williams and Gael Garcia Bernal. Douglas's second boyfriend.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Douglas, you picked this film. Tell us what it's about and what you thought.
Alright, so this movie, it's a little bit hard to describe. As you said before, it's starring Michelle Williams and Gael Garcia Bernal, which is essentially the best thing that it has going for itself. That's really why I got hooked and why I wanted to watch this movie. And after, a few minutes, you realize, boy, what's this really about? And it's hard to answer that question because it kind of takes the tack of, say, an Amores Perros or the other movie that he did recently with Brad Pitt. Babel. Right. Where it's...
It takes the scenic route to get to the point.
It does. It takes the scenic route, but not only that, it tells three different stories all at the same time.
There's a point being made, but you don't find out what that point is.
I think after watching this movie, and I'll admit I'm still a little bit confused, is that this movie really is essentially about family. It's about people being away from their family and how they react to that and what choices they make because of that. There's one storyline with Gael and Michelle, actually, both as the main characters. They're married, they have a daughter, and Gael is some sort of...
Businessman.
He makes deals. He's like a gamer who can't make games and therefore has an app store and needs money and goes to Thailand for this money. And so he's away from his wife and his daughter, and we see what he does there and... how he reacts to the situation that he's put in. Somewhat linked to this story is these two parents have a nanny / housekeeper, Gloria, who is from, I guess, the Philippines, and she has two children who live there with her mother, and you see how you know, what she's doing in her situation, which is instead of, well, actually, in a sense, they're both the same. Gail is going to get money, so is she, but in different circumstances. He's going to get money for his business where, you know, none of it is really his, and it's really, he's well off, he's fine, whatever. She, on the other hand, is getting money because she's from, I guess, not so wealthy background. She
gave it away.
Or gave it away, right? You know, a wealthy housekeeper. What is that? So she's sending.
I think that'd be an amazing movie. One day we find a housekeeper who wants to be a housekeeper so bad, no matter how much money she has, just because she wants to be a housekeeper. She wants to clean those toilets.
Exactly. So she's sending back money for her children so that they can hopefully have a better life than hers. They can, you know, grow up in a nice, well, a fairly nice house given their circumstances, and possibly, you know, become some sort of professional because they've gotten their education. Right. That
professional
she
housekeeper.
Shut up. And for some reason they tried to link some sort of third, very minuscule story of somebody that Gael met in Thailand, right, who also has a daughter that she gets to talk to.
This guy doesn't know when to stop.
Meta is the issue. Meta.
I think that is the issue.
I really wanted to like this movie because of Gael and because of Michelle. And as Damien has said before...
And the housekeeper, I mean, if they had... if that was it. If they had just stuck with those three and told one story...
Yeah.
If that was what happened, then that would have been fine. But the mere fact that the name of the movie is Mammoth explains everything that is wrong with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love how they tie in with the name by giving him a pen. That's the only significance that this name is.
You know, that's the weirdest thing, right? I've seen so many movies like this where they have that scene where they say the name of the movie and they have this thing they say about it, and you know that they're really talking about the movie, and you try so hard to take what they said about the title and expand it into the meaning of the movie. But in this movie, it makes nothing.
Yeah.
But what the fuck does this have to do with that pin?
Exactly.
What is going on? I am confused. And that is what you feel like pretty much till the end of the movie.
The truth is, I don't know, because when I think back to this movie, right, the movie actually, in pieces, were very engaging. If you look at the story, especially, I think the most engaging story, as you say, is Gloria and her children. Especially when it gets to a point where there's a bit of an issue with her son back home. And I remember before that issue happened, her grandmother was having a talk with him. And it was because he decided, boy, he misses his mom. His younger brother misses her a little bit more. And so therefore, you know, the only way she can come back is if he makes money. And, of course, you know, you can see the inner workings of his grandmother's mind of, okay, he's going to try and make money, and this means he's going to leave school, and, you know, we can't have that because he needs to do something with his life. And fair enough. And she takes him, and it's like tough love, right? She says, you're not going to school today. Walks through the dumps and explains to him, no, son, this is where you could be if, you know, your mother wasn't where she was, and if you go out of school and whatever, whatever. But then, after that, she has a conversation with him about certain night activities, and I just saw it. I'm like, you're telling him something, and you're not giving him the bad part of it, and he's not going to understand why this is bad if you don't tell him. And she doesn't. And it's not her fault, but I mean, I remember throughout this story just feeling that, just being like, I know it's not your fault, but you're stupid, why don't you? And the fact that I felt so much emotion about that shows that this really was an intriguing and engaging story.
It could have been.
You know, it could have been. Exactly. And there was some similar feelings when we were talking about Gael in his situation. I'm like, boy, you did well for a while, but you're making some choices that I don't agree with, and you could be on the righteous path and whatnot. So I feel like what really hurt this film was the fact that they split it into these stories, and
the fact that they wasted Michelle Williams in this movie.
They really did.
Why put her in the movie? You can get this great actress and give her nothing to, or she runs on a treadmill in winter. Thanks.
She had the thing with Anthony.
Now this movie is exactly like Babel, where they could have told a story and have it be coherent and enjoyable, and he decided no.
You know,
let's just keep adding more and more nonsense.
Hey, no, I like
that. You can't take away my nostalgia goggles without. I like that.
And then at some point, we're going to end the movie on some somber note, and then you find out how all these things work together. I don't know. You work that out amongst yourself. I'm good over here. Lunch break. I tried really hard to like this movie, guys. Really, really hard. As to the point where I started rewatching the movie and then realized that I was doing the exact wrong thing. Right? The movie's job was to entertain me. It failed to do that. What it did was frustrate me to the point where all that was left after watching the movie was confusion, and I don't want that. The movie didn't make me think. I'm sure that is what it was trying to do, but it failed to do that. What it made me was aggravated. I gave me the feeling that I had wasted all that time watching this movie. I wasn't going to waste any more time watching it, so I immediately stopped watching it the second time, because there's nothing more to be gained. The movie is convoluted, and it is all the director's fault. The direction of this movie is bad. The story is being told isn't bad. It is just how the movie fits together. I don't know if he is the same person that edited the movie or whatever, but something went wrong putting this movie together, and then they wasted Michelle Williams, which I cannot give them a pass on that. That is not good, guys. Don't put her in the movie.
She should have been the main,
right?
Do that.
Even if you was going to do that, I guess she'd have been the upper class kid that you guys are talking about.
She's like, it's my passion.
Yes. All my life I've wanted to clean toilets. And my parents wouldn't let me. But now I'm rich.
So I can do whatever I want.
What I want.
It'll be like the prequel to Two Broke Girls.
That way to bring down the podcast. You want me to talk about New Girl again? Is that it?
Stop it. No.
That's it.
Right. You guys have pretty much nailed nailed it on its head. The movie is all over the place, but the funny part about it is that if we were to cut scenes from the movie, and Douglas mentioned this, it would be good scenes, because they are all well acted and they all have their own bits of drama which work.
Right, Cristiano Ronaldo is pretty good in this movie.
What I found particularly annoying with this movie that you guys have failed to mention so far is the music, and how the music forcefully tried to hammer home everything that was happening in the movie, especially within the story of Gael in Thailand. There is a moment where he decides he's no longer going to hide in his little cabin. When he's gone to the island, he's going to go out and try and make friends, and he's going to start lying about who he is and do stuff. And the song that starts playing at that point then says, and I quote, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child," which is exactly what he's doing to himself now. He's creating a whole new persona, which is this unknown person which just wants to go out and do madness. Then he goes clubbing, which you found out not half an hour ago he doesn't like, to which you hear a song play, "Boy, You Got Me Doing Things I Never Do," where he meets this woman that Douglas mentioned, this fourth string story which we didn't right. need.
Would you like to have a good time? Answer, yes.
And then it goes even further to when you meet Michelle Williams, In the hospital, she's doing one operation with this other person, and they're listening to whale songs. And she's asking about the whale song. She's like, what do the whales talk about to each other 60 miles apart? And the guy's like, you know, the usual, how you doing, what you up to, you know, I love you. And those are the same conversations that these two have been having over the phone while they've been apart. Very few of their conversations have shown the level of intimacy that you expect someone who's been married 6 years to have. They kind of boil down to what you've been doing, I love you, goodbye. And you can see that annoyance in Michelle Williams' character in that separation. But what I think is the most annoying part of this movie is that after all of the melodrama that occurs that we've been talking about in the film, when the movie comes to an end, the final moment of this movie, Gael has finally come back home. The Philippine nanny, as we've mentioned, goes back home as well to her family. And Gael is sitting down with Michelle Williams, and they're talking about how they missed each other, and they could have left the movie there, and it would have been relatively fine. But then they decide to ruin that scene in my mind by letting the last line of dialogue being, "We need a new nanny." And I don't know why this bothers me so much. Maybe it's because
because the movie's terrible.
This is how you know it's a bad movie. When you start to find so many little things which annoy you, it's a really bad movie, because you're no longer going to go for, oh, it never makes no sense.
I was hoping that this would just have been another version of Blue Valentine. Except instead of them being poor, they'd be rich and having problems. I'd have gone for that, but no. They decided, what if we just keep telling stories, guys? Hey, you, writer, keep writing stories. We'll put all of them in.
I mean, I know what...
But I don't have an ending, don't worry about
it. I know what the writer was going for. Like Douglas mentioned, it's all about family and the idea. Like, I remember a long time ago, when Damien was forcing Douglas and I to watch old movies, he made us watch Ikiru, your favorite Kurosawa.
Yep.
And
damn right.
One of the things you talked about when we reviewed that film was how no one you've ever talked to or heard speak on the subject of family has ever said at the end of their life that they regret not being at work more.
Yeah, I should have spent more time at work.
Right, you know, they always say they regret not spending enough time with their family, which is what this movie is trying to hammer home so harsh.
Yep.
Right? You, at the end of the day, you just want to be with your family, and I get that, but they just keep hammering at it over and over and over again, and it comes back again in the music in that final scene. There's a song playing which I don't know what the song is, but one of the lyrics in the song is, "Once I wanted to be the greatest," and it goes on and on, right? And it gives you this feeling of these people with ambition who always wanted to be the greatest at what they're doing, but at the end of the day, as life moves on, they find out what's more important than being the greatest is being with these people. And maybe I'm reading too much into the movie.
No, that is what he was trying to do. He's just very bad at it. It's the same thing he tried to do with Babel. You guys might want to like Babel, but that doesn't make it any better. The same thing he did. He told, I think, what, 4 or 5 disconnected stories, and then at the very end tried to give some harsh shit reason, you know, all of them come together, but they didn't. And at the end of the movie just ended. And people started falling over themselves. Oh, Babel, it's a triumph, and he's so good. No, he's not. He's a good director, that is clear. He can shoot a movie. He can tell stories. He needs focus. That is what he needs. He needs to stop doing this. If the next movie he puts out is like this, I'm pretty much going to blacklist him. I know, because it is ridiculous. I don't want to go through this again.
He's
0-2.
I'm misunderstanding you a second. Do you think this is the same guy who did Babel?
Isn't it?
No, it is not. Babel is not... This guy and Babel are two different people. It's Babel is by Inyaratu. This is by Lucas Moody Soon, whatever his name.
Ah, okay.
So it's not the same all person.
Right. Oh, thank. Well, that's... All right, well then, he needs to stop watching Babel and make good movies. I don't... Not a fan of this movie at all. It should have been better.
The guy who did Babel, Alejandro Inarritu, he did Amores Perros, 21 Grams, and the movie Beautiful with Javier Bardem that came out last
year. Bardem.
Which I still haven't watched. I've been meaning to watch. So I just let you know
porn.
That you might be piling on the hate a little too much on this person.
All right, fine. Thank God. Good. All right, he gets a pass on this one.
This guy, what he's done is a film called Together from 2000. Show Me Love from 1998. I don't know any of these movies.
Yeah. All right, see
ya. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, right. Regardless, this movie isn't very good. As I always do, or at least I feel like I should do more, when a movie... I don't really know how to respond to it sometimes. It took me a while to come to the decision. Because, you know, sometimes when you watch a movie like this, you start to think, was that really bad or did I just not get the point? Right? I don't know if you guys have ever had that kind of feeling with a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I decided to crowdsource my review at first, going to the Twitter. And responses came in. And most of them came to the effect of, and I quote one saying, "I thought Mammoth was bloated, sloppy, and generally bad." So I just wanted wanted you guys to know that we're not alone in our thoughts.
No, I only look for bad reviews of movies I love.
Those are fun to read.
Like I found some really, really bad reviews for... Melancholia, but they didn't really make any sense to me, which was great. Great. Ah, said Jesus. Guys, Andrew, not Andrew, Douglas, are you sure you don't like that movie?
I stand by what I said before. I think that they're both decent concepts which could have worked as standalone movies, but just didn't quite work together.
I can't believe. I'm so disappointed in
that. And on that note...
What happened to my friend?
And on that note, I guess we can say goodnight. This has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Hi and welcome.
Hi and welcome. But no, we're supposed to say goodbye and good luck or something.
Hi and welcome.
Or maybe goodbye version.
Whenever Andrew says the Unnamed Movie Podcast, one of us, or both of us, should be able to say hi and welcome.
Hi and welcome. And every time we start a new section, doesn't work hi and welcome you to as many times.
So,
have it be a drinking game.
You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com, on iTunes.com, through iTunes, or... through the
at iTunes.com, damn it, we're on the front page.
Through the podcast alley, Douglas, you can find his website at mashbits.com. He's also on Twitter, DJR lost his name. Damien's on Google Plus, he's Damien White. I'm on Twitter at GmanReviews. Feel free to contact me there, whatever you want to say. So thanks for listening to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
And
good night.
It's not what you thought when you first began it. You got what you want. Now you can hardly stay.